We are going to be talking with Aubrey Dixon today. And Aubrey has a history of problems with narcotics. And he's going to tell us how this all got started and what happened to him during our discussion. Aubrey, you're now living at the Western Carolina Rescue Mission in Asheville, North Carolina. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, give me your testimony. Tell me, start back as far back as you think is important, and tell me about your life and what was going on and up until the time that you got to the rescue mission.
Okay. I'm from Greenville, North Carolina. I grew up in an athlete in Greenville, playing football and baseball, and I remember being in high school playing football, and I lost a few of my friends to, first of all, I was involved in, you know, dealing drugs and, you know, just chasing things of the world, and I remember losing a couple friends, and I didn't really know how to cope with it, and I was started off just smoking weed and doing things like that, and then I remember my senior year, I'd always have dreams to play college football, and I remember I started not going to class and everything like that, chasing the wrong things, and I remember when I lost that opportunity, I became angry, and I didn't really know who I was, you know, without football, because I found my identity in football, and I remember after that was taken away from me, I became angry, and I started, I didn't know anything else besides the street, so I just started pursuing, you know, selling drugs, hanging out in the corners, and getting high, and before I knew it, it kind of consumed my life, and when I look back at now, I didn't have any dreams or anything. I just wanted to be the biggest drug dealer I could be, and then I just started chasing money and all those things, thinking that that would always bring me happiness, but the older I got, you know, it didn't matter how much money I acquired or anything like that, there was always this spot in me that was like, you know, there's got to be more to life than this, you know, there was a hole there, and I never really knew my true purpose or my calling, I guess, and I just couldn't figure it out, and I remember fast forward, I started doing pain pills, and then that led to heroin, and I remember I was sitting in my room one night, this was in January of this year, and I was high, and I was just looking around at my room, and my room was a mess, and that was the first time I really remember God speaking to me. He said, "Oh, this is a representation of your life. You know, your life's a mess. You got to do something. You got to do it now. It's urgent." So I remember I had a little bit of heroin left. I did it, and I knew that tomorrow I was going to have to deal with my problem because I was going to feel bad. I remember waking up the next morning, and I laid in bed till about 12 o'clock. I ended up calling my girlfriend at the time and telling her that, you know, I'd been on drugs or whatever. So I went to my mother's house, and I told her, and they kind of already knew something was up because I just hadn't been myself lately. I guess the signs were, you could see it in my face that I was on drugs. And I remember going into detox. And about 5 days into detox, my mom, she gave me came and dropped off the rules and everything to this program at the rescue mission, the discipleship program. And I remember reading over it, and I was like, man, I'm not going there or anything. And I remember getting out, and then I truly ended up coming here. And just when I realized how much God really loves me, you know, that's when my life began to change, and I started to realize, you know, my purpose in life, and everything I was doing was just, it couldn't fill the void. The void that was there was a void that only God could fill, and I remember just that my identity is found in Christ, not how much money you have, not what you do in the streets, not what car you drive or anything like that. And when I began to realize that, I mean, my life changed. I mean, God started shedding light and in my life in a lot of areas, and he just started showing me things, and it was like I've been living life with a blindfold on, you know. I bought all the lies of the enemy and everything like that, and I slowly started to see things a whole lot different. And I mean, ever since then, I mean, my life's has changed. You know, my heart's desires are totally different. You know, it's been amazing. You know, there's been ups and downs, but I mean, it's beautiful once you realize, you know, how God really loves you and how much He really cares for you and how much He seeks for a relationship for you. And I'm grateful for that, you know, because He literally pulled me out of the pits of hell and saved my life, you know. And without Him, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you right now.
Aubrey, that's a great story that you have. Would you agree with me that what we're really talking about here is spiritual warfare?
Absolutely.
Okay. And would you further agree with me that it's important to get to the children as early as you can so that they understand that instead of waiting until they get as old as you are?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm going to read you a letter, and it opens my new book, which is called Freedom from Addiction, Roman numeral 2, to make a difference between the first one and the second one. And the purpose of me writing this book is to help people, parents, grandparents, and others, in helping the people that they love get cured from this terrible, terrible disease. And I want you to listen to it as I read it and tell me if you identify with that, if it's something that you think that if you had known earlier, might have made a difference, okay?
Okay.
My name is Addiction. I am waging war against all nations and do not plan to take prisoners. Like a thief in the night, I will pillage your people, rob them of their dignity, peace of mind, and eventually their lives. The world will be in shambles before I am through. The more the merrier, red, yellow, black, white, none are precious in my sight. Rich or poor, I have no favorites, but I must admit I have fun picking on the sad and lonely, the weak and sick, and I really get a kick out of young people who do not have a clue. It is a quick seduction to entangle them in my web. They are mine from a single puff on a reefer to the pop of a rubber band, and from the first taste of liquor to the bottle's last drop. It's easy to enslave them on social media screens, entice them into sexual promiscuity, and convince them that they need a cigarette or another Twinkie. There are over 20 addictive behaviors in my arsenal. Yeah, that's my greatest thrill. Enslave them young, and I will have them for life. Now, don't get me wrong, I was invited to this party and they made me the main attraction. And realizing that I was in the land of the innocent, I took advantage like a fox in a hen house. Just try a little, I would whisper. And that's all it takes, a small temptation to get them started, and they do the rest. Making sure that they have all the crappy dope and all the cheap liquor that they need is easy. They will snort, shoot, or drink anything. It's really fun to put pesticides and all manner of trash in their stash. It's like watching an already dead man's duel with a pistol with one bullet. They sooner mine because there are only 5 empty chambers. AIDS really adds another level of satisfaction for me. My ultimate thrill is to watch them struggle in pain as their emaciated bodies lay dying. The last words they speak are often, "What have I done to myself?" When they are dead and gone, I get a bonus. The lives of their family is in tatters. The family is grieving because they fiercely loved you, my prey. The damage of addiction is vast, wide, and long. Mother dies from heartache, but the real culprit was all the grief and stress that she went through. Daddy does not linger long either. Why stay when all his money was long gone before they buried you? It does appear that there is one thrill left. Your parents both go to their grave wondering if they will meet you in heaven. They're not sure, because the last time that they saw you on earth, you were blaming all your problems on them, cursing them and demanding money. Your daddy always felt the bad choices he made somehow rubbed off on you. Just to let you know, I did get a kick out of watching you cringe in the corner as you watched your daddy beat your mother. Unfortunately for me, they both got it right with God before they died, and he rescued their sorry souls. Most of your brothers and sisters rarely think of you today. They're just glad to be rid of the guilt, shame, and embarrassment that they felt every time they looked at the shell of humanity that you had become. Now, the game is not quite finished. Your little brother was closely watching all your debauchery, and now he thinks he might give it a try. And surprise, surprise, you left a baby in the belly of your last partner, a baby that does not stand a chance. He is your last sacrifice. You turned out just like I wanted, completely destroyed, inside and out. Your eyes are yellow from all the booze. Hepatitis and liver damage would have killed you anyway, but it gives me great joy to announce that your appetite for momentary escape from reality took you much sooner. A shell of your former self, alone, without family, you left this world high as a kite, in total oblivion to the darkness you were about to enter. The darkness filled with all the rejected, discarded souls that I have tortured and killed. Your so-called friends stole your few possessions at the end and disappeared in the night before your body was cold and 911 never got a call. I feel like gloating. You lost your chance to make a change. All the talk of repentance and redemption went right over your head. Like a sheep led to slaughter, you were an easy target. Had you known a very simple prayer, you would have not been very easy to reel in. We may have never met. Your parents were older when they finally changed their ways. Much too late to do you any good. I waited patiently until I knew you were ready. I pretended to be your friend. I bolstered your low self-esteem. And I made you temporarily feel like a king. But only temporarily, I am proud to say. And just a footnote to rub it in. You could have been a man with everything. A nice family, a beautiful home, the pillar of the community, respected by all your family and friends. Your life could have been filled with purpose as you reached out to help your fellow man. You could have had all this peace, joy, and happiness in life if you had opened your eyes and realized your value as a child of God. If you had allowed him into your life to be your constant friend and advisor. God gave you all the tools you needed to complete your mission in life, but you didn't use them. Yes, one simple prayer. Dear God, please save me through the blood of Jesus Christ, would have protected you from me. You know, just the mention of those names, God and Jesus, completely steals all my joy. That's the reason I keep my flock under the influence so that they cannot hear the sweet voice of Jesus calling them. Come home, my child, come home. Yes, that is what you are, a lost child who ran out of chances. You are now lost in darkness, and you are mine forever. And now, I am sure you can figure out the rest of the story. It's been a pleasure wrecking your life and stealing your soul, your friend, Addiction, also known as Satan. What do you think? Aubrey, are you still there?
Yes.
What did you think about this story?
Sounds familiar.
Sounds familiar. Yeah. I think it's familiar to a lot of people. But a lot of people don't really realize what the truth is, do they?
No, not at all.
And the truth of the matter is, it's a spiritual war between good and evil.
Absolutely.
Evil wants to wreck your life, steal your soul, and kill you. And good wants all the good things that you could have in life. and it's a matter of choosing. You know, you have to choose. And you're, what, 25?
Just turned 26.
26? So you made a choice relatively early in life, and you can now for the rest of your life do all those great things that we've been talking about, helping other people. And your life can be totally different from the life of a person who never made that choice. Now, I want to ask you if you would tell me about Western Carolina Rescue Mission. Tell me about their program, especially the discipleship part of it, what they do, and just allow our listeners to get an idea of what kind of things that are available similar to Western Carolina Rescue Mission.
It's a 12-month residency program, and they you have classes Monday through Saturday, and you go to church on Sunday. You got a church to come and fix us up, and basically they just instead of, you know, they get to the root of the problem. The addiction's just how you deal with the problem, and they help you, you know, get to the root of the problem and the real pain that you're trying to cover up, and it's they help you find your true identity in Christ, you know, and they teach you what a real man is, you know, and a real man is, he loves Jesus and he follows God, you know. It's crazy because coming up in the world now, you know, the world paints this picture of what a man is. It's what the car he drives, the money he makes, his job, how many women he can get, and all this. And when you get to have a real relationship with God, you start to understand that none of that determines a man, you know. And it's just your true identity as a man is found in Christ, you know. And if you don't have him in your life, I mean, you're lost, like you said. And it was funny because when you were reading that, what really stood out to me was temporarily a king. It's temporary. Because there's no eternal values in any of the things, you know, that the enemy, he promises us and entices us with. It feels good for a little bit, but it goes away. It fades, you know. And that really stuck out to me. And I'm grateful for this program because without this program, like I said, I don't think I'd still be alive, you know. It really took me in and really showed me what God really was and how Jesus really feels about me. Not just, you know, with the church, but like a true relationship with God, you know. A walk with him daily, day in, day out, you know. And a real relationship, you know. And that's what he seeks from all of us is relationship. Not religion, but relationship, you know. And it's been an amazing journey. And I'm grateful, man. The people here, they really just poured their time out, their heart and everything. It's truly changed my life, you know. And like I said, I'm grateful.
Well, being grateful for what God has given us is one of the most important spiritual concepts to understand, because God has blessed us really tremendously, but quite often we don't appreciate it. And we're thinking, well, what else can I get all the time, rather than I'm really grateful for what I have. You find that to be the case?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Well, there's two reasons for addiction. I've been studying addiction for 30 years, and there's two causes for addiction. I want to share that with you. The first one is low self-esteem. You don't value yourself enough. Would you say that was one of your causes?
Yes.
And the second one is inadequate spiritual consciousness. In other words, you don't really understand spiritual things that you need to understand, like God and your relationship to God and how that impacts you. And I would say from hearing your story that was also your problem, right?
Yes, sir.
But if we can, by understanding that we're God's children and that we have characteristics of God and that we're valuable and God has a purpose for each of us that we need to discover and then pursue it, that raises our self-esteem to the point that we don't need any addictive behaviors any longer. And that's why I'm so happy to have you on the program to make that point, that if you get rid of low self-esteem and you get rid of lack of spiritual consciousness, the addiction will kind of just go away. You don't have to force it or anything like that. Do you think, in your particular case, that this life experience is going to lead you to want to continue helping people with addiction?
Yes, sir, absolutely. You know?
Got any idea
absolutely.
how you're going to do that yet?
I know that I want to get my peer support specialist certification, and I also want to get involved with the community here in Asheville, and I want to get involved with the, you know, inner city kids and let them know that, you know, there is a way out of this life, and you don't have to go down the same path I went down, you know, because there's a passion for it in my heart right now. I kind of feel like I finally found my purpose, which is to help others, reach others, and let them know how much God truly cares about them, you know, because it's something that I think everyone should experience, you know, and because there's true freedom in it, you know, there's true freedom, you know, and you start living with a purpose, a reason, you know, it's not about a paycheck, it's not about this, it's about like, how are you helping others, you know, and just truly just helping people understand what it is to have a real relationship with Christ, not just go to church, not just read the Bible, but really live this thing out, you know, because we got a lot of people that know God, think they know God, but they don't really understand how much he really cares about you and how much he really loves you, you know, and when you understand that, you realize that, you know, like you said, your confidence comes from God, you know, because he's always with you and he'll never leave you, and when you know that it doesn't matter what life brings, you know, you've already defeated it, you know, and when we understand that, life it becomes that much better, you know.
Well, you got a real handle on it. You really get it, and I'm praying that during your life you'll be able to teach this to other people, because God has a purpose for every one of the 8 billion people on the planet, and the purpose is always related to helping other people. You know, some people do it one way, some people do it another way, but helping other people has got to be God's purpose for your life.
Absolutely.
I wrote a book once called The Four Questions, the most important four spiritual questions that there are. And those questions would be this. Who am I? Where did I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I going when I'm done? Most people have never even thought about those questions, much less tried to answer them. And although you could answer them different ways, let me tell you what my answers to those questions are, which keeps me on the straight and narrow. Who am I? I'm a child of God. Where did I come from? I came from God. What am I doing here? I'm here to do God's will in my life for the service of the world. And where am I going when I'm done? I'm going back to God. Seems kind of simple, doesn't it? But really hard to understand for a lot of people. But that's as simple as I can boil it down. And if you understand that, you won't have a problem with addiction. And that's what I'm here to help people learn their mission in life so that they can get with it, start doing it, and get away from the addiction problem, which, you know, God promised us that he would take care of that in our lives. It's been a real pleasure talking with you today, Aubrey, and seeing where you came from, what happened, where you're going, and it's going to be a remarkable journey for you, I'm sure. And I just hope that you'll be able to tell as many people the truth of the matter in the days that you have left. And thank you so much for being on my program today. And You can get it on iTunes, searching under Alternative Health. You would look for Freedom from Addiction. And this program that you're doing right now can be heard 24/7, anytime if you want to send people to iTunes to hear it. And I think that you've done a remarkable job and talking about it, and that you will help a lot of people.
Thank you, sir. It's been a privilege.
Okay. Well, you take care, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.